Well, good morning, Fairhaven Church. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. It's great to have you here with us. If you're a guest, you've been greeted by all of our campus hosts and campus pastors, and we're so honored that you would find your way here. For those of you that are regular, great to see your faces. Great to have you with us. And so would you help me by applause? Would you help me welcome our Springboro campus and our Northmont campus, Beaver Creek and Classics, and all those that are online? Just help me welcome each other. Great to have you all here with us today. So, as you've been hearing from our campus hosts and pastors today, I do want to tell you that next week we are starting a series called Better Together, and we've been asking you to host a group if you would like to do that. And if you signed up to host one, we're going to give you one of these. So just stop by the group life desk at all of our campuses or online if you'll just let us know, and we'll send one to you, I guess. If you want to get one of these bags, inside of here you'll have t-shirts for your entire group. We want to make sure that all of you have t-shirts that will help you. They're all long sleeve, so as we head into colder weather, that'll be good for you there. We also, if you've decided to host, we have a host guideline here that will just help you at what it means to be a host. And so it's a small little pamphlet that will just give you some guidelines as to what hosting really means if you're really still curious about that. And then there's books in here as well. We have a leader's guide for all the messages that we're going to be doing over the next 5 weeks. And then we have a guide for all of the participants in the small group as well. So it's all, as I promised you weeks ago, we're going to make it as easy as possible for you. So even if you are considering hosting a group, just stop by our group life desk and we'll be happy to help you get one of these bags. The bag is yours to keep and it's helpful for you and the group that you might be starting. On the other hand, you may not be willing to host a group yet, but you may want to join in a group or start a group or be involved in a group, and we want to help you with that. And you heard about that today. So you could go online or just drop by the group life desk and we'll be helping to do. We believe that we've learned, help me out here, church, that through 2020, I think we've all learned a lesson, and the lesson is that relationships are really important. Would you agree, church? And so that's why we're giving you so much emphasis on this. If you're new, you're like, wow, they really care about this. Yeah, we do. And so if you, if you're interested, we'd love to help you with that, because we have discovered, we knew this, but that groups and relationships are really important. So today, we're going to continue in our series. Actually, we're going to end it, and I'm going to start with this question. Is there anything that you're facing that seems greater than you can handle? As you think through your life, think through all the situations and circumstances that you're facing in your life, is there anything that you can put your finger on, anything that comes to your mind? And if you're struggling with something, it's not hard, right? It comes right to your mind pretty quickly. Is there anything that you are facing that seems greater than you can handle in your life? If the answer is yes to this, then you are set up really, really well for this last invitation that Jesus gives. If you're a guest with us or you're brand new, we have been looking at 4 invitations. Today will be the 5th invitation. As we conclude, 5 invitations that Jesus gives us. Very clear throughout all of the New Testament. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these invitations are said over and over again that Jesus invites his disciples. Therefore, he's inviting us to accept these invitations as well. And we said that you can accept or ignore. That's the title of the series, if you didn't know. Let me give them to you so that we can dive into the 5th one here today. First week, we said that Jesus invites us to come and see. In other words, throughout your day, you know, if you really look carefully, it's amazing how you can see that God shows up. Am I right? It's just God shows up, and the presence of God is there, and so Jesus invites us to come and see that throughout our day, throughout our week, that God shows up in a variety of different ways because he loves you and he cares about you and he knows you personally and he knows everything about you. And that's an amazing God, the creator of everything, who wants and knows you, and so he invites you to come and see. And then Jesus invited us to follow him, meaning that if you want a relationship with God, because all of us, at one point or another, and maybe still, have a broken relationship with God. It's my fault, it's your fault. And that relationship can only be mended because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you and I. And when you accept him into your life and you mend that relationship, he invites us to follow him. In other words, to be like him. So as you go through your week, as you go through your month, you can evaluate in your own life, am I acting like Jesus in this situation or in that situation? Third invitation we looked at was Jesus says, fish with me. You probably know it this way. Jesus says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so we looked at that as well. Jesus invites us to be involved in helping somebody else in their journey, their faith journey or disciple making. And that's an amazing honor to be involved, whether you're somebody who's older and involved in somebody who's younger, or whether you're a parent involved in a kid's life, or whether you're a friend involved in a friend's life. You get the opportunity, as Jesus invites you, to fish with me. What an incredible invitation that he gives. Last week, we looked at the invitation that none of us really want, to be honest with you, and the invitation is to deny yourself. And paradoxically, almost counterintuitively, what Jesus is saying is that when you deny yourself, that's the path to joy. That when you lay your life down for others and when you deny yourself, you will experience more joy in your life, and it's joy that will be constant and continuous in your life, and we looked at that last week. This fifth one is really important because the fifth invitation affects all of them. And I told you a couple weeks ago that you can't miss this week, and so thank you for being here. And if you've been tracking with us over these last 4 weeks, this invitation that Jesus gives is the one that will help us with all the other four. In fact, I would argue that unless you accept this invitation, you really can't do the other four. Because when you accept this invitation, it will help you to recognize God's presence more. When you accept this invitation that we're going to look at today, it'll help you to live more like Jesus. It'll help you to be involved in other people's lives. It'll help you to experience how you can find joy by denying yourself. And so we're going to look at that today. So I hope you brought a Bible with you or some device, because we're going to look at this invitation. And it's found in John. So turn with me to John chapter 20. You know the story. You've heard the story, actually. But there's an invitation that's right in this story that maybe you hadn't seen before. And it's clearly right there. John chapter 20. It's in the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, help me out here, church. Luke and John. John chapter 20. It reads like this, dropping down to verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." I kind of want to linger there for a little bit. "Peace be with you," Jesus says. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." God, Jesus wants to give us a purpose in life. And when he has said this, he breathed on them. And I don't know what that would look like, but here's what I know. It's miraculous. He breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It's an invitation. Underline that in your Bibles. Highlight that in your devices. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. What does Jesus mean there? We'll look at that today. Right in the middle of a story that many of you know of the resurrection of Jesus, afterwards on that same day, John tells us here that they were gathered behind closed doors, locked doors to be honest with you, because they were fearful for their lives, and it was the first day. Do you realize that if you travel to Israel today, the first day of their week is Sunday? It still is 2,000 years later. And so John tells us here, it's the first day of the week. It was in the evening, so it's Resurrection Sunday. They're gathered there. They're very confused about this resurrection. They've heard stories about a few people running into Jesus, and they're not really sure if they're true or not. And so they're dealing with all kinds of emotions inside. They're trying to figure out how to come to terms with all these encounters that they've heard of. And then Jesus comes into the room, even though the doors are locked, he comes into the room and he says, "Peace be with you." He reassures them in the midst of their confusion. He reassures them when their hearts are troubled, when their hearts are disoriented. Anybody know that that's what Jesus does even today? That if you're coming here to worship in any one of our environments, or if you're online somewhere in the world, I want you to hear, because I want to hear from Jesus today where he says, "Peace be with you." Because he wants to settle our troubled hearts and our confused and disoriented hearts. And so right here, Jesus is gathered with his disciples, and then he invites them to one of the most important invitations, I think, out of the five, and that's this invitation right here. Receive the Spirit. receive the Holy Spirit. Some people, as you've grown up in different faith traditions, you might call it the Holy Ghost or something to a different word that you are there, but it's the same thing. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Receive the Holy Spirit, God's power that's in you. And what I want to do with you today is I want to look at this story because later on in the story here, you see it there, Thomas wasn't in the room. And so a week later, Thomas is in the room and Jesus shows up again because Thomas wasn't sure that Jesus in fact had been risen from the dead. And so Thomas says, look, I'm not going to believe it until I see his hands and until I can see his side. And so Jesus shows up and he shows Thomas his hands and he shows Thomas the side. And immediately Thomas says, my Lord and my God. It's incredible. And Jesus says to us, as he says to disciples then, it's better if you can believe without seeing. It's easy if you see, but it's much better if you can believe without seeing. And so right here, in the middle of all of this turmoil, Jesus gives this incredible invitation, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, talking about the Holy Spirit, that could really be a series all on its own, couldn't it? I mean, there are books written. There are volumes written about the Holy Spirit. What I want to try to do with you today, believe it or not, is to just mention three realities that we see right here and at least highlight and maybe even today help us to remember again some important truths about this invitation that Jesus gives to us to receive the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I want to make it very practical. And so follow with me, track with me here as we look through this story and look at the realities of what Jesus is saying here, three realities about the Spirit. Here's the first one. The Holy Spirit is not just with us, but in us. You know, I don't know about you, but every once in a while I forget that. Because we often talk and we quote scripture like, you know, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Because we know that God is with us. And so we have this idea that as we walk through life that God is with us, and if we don't sense that God is with us, maybe we're walking faster than he is, or maybe he isn't following us at all, or maybe he's just forgotten about us, or maybe he doesn't have a clue, none of which are true. And the invitation that Jesus gives to us is to receive the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, can be in you, right inside of you. I've told you stories before about how living in Asia, one of my good friends, he's an Indian fellow who's not a believer in Jesus, and he is overwhelmed at this idea. He calls me God-man. I don't think I deserve that title, to be honest with you. But he talks about the fact that I don't understand that God can be in you. Church, do you realize that when you go through this week, it might change the way you see your week, your relationships, each other, the world? God is in us. And as he's giving this invitation, it's important for us to understand that the Holy Spirit is not some vague representation of God. It's not like the junior varsity team. It is, in fact, God himself. You see, if you're a guest with us here today, you need to know that we believe in the one true God, who is the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I can't really explain that to you. I can try. And scholars have for centuries. And we just can't, because if we could understand and explain God away, we wouldn't need him. We wouldn't need him. And so God shows up, Jesus shows up, as God the Father sends the Son, and he puts flesh on, and he lives among us, and he comes as Emmanuel, God with us. And yet he invites us, listen to this, he invites us to experience God in us. Receive the Holy Spirit. He's inside of you. Now, this is not new to the disciples, actually, because if you took a journey with me, and if you want, if you're a note taker, you might want to just jot this down. Let me give you a couple places that you could go to in the book of John where we can actually see the conversation that's been taking place. In John chapter 14, as an example, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he goes on to say, if you follow my commandments, life will make more sense. And then he says, and I'm going to give you the Spirit of God to help you, and the Spirit of God is going to live inside of you, in you. I'm not going to leave you hanging like orphans, he says in John chapter 14. The disciples didn't quite understand that. And then he gets to John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, Jesus says, verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of terms and words, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. In other words, Jesus can be with us, but the Holy Spirit can be in us. That's an amazing reality. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget that. And so as you're going through life, as you're going through whatever it is that you're facing in your life, let's remember that the first reality here is that God is in us. He desires to be in us. And because of that, the Bible says, and I put this all for you in the notes if you want to look them up, but this is what we see in the Spirit of God in us. He comforts us. Anybody need comfort today? He guides us and directs us. He transforms us. He empowers everyday life. He confirms God's word. He sanctifies our actions. He infuses joy. He keeps us to the very end. He holds us together in a relationship with God to the very end. He fills us with praise. The reason why today you may have opened your mouth in any of our locations and you sung any note, whether it was on pitch or not, is because the Holy Spirit wants to help you to be full of praise. Because as I've said many times here, there's only one person in the audience, and that's God Himself. We're here, church, because we desire to worship God. Is that right? We desire to worship Him, and so He keeps us and fills us with praise. He communicates the Father's love. If you're here today and you question God's love, lean into the invitation that Jesus gives to understand that the Spirit of God is in you and He wants to communicate to you the Father's love. He loves you so much. He knows everything about you. It's amazing. The Holy Spirit wants to confirm our gifts. He's given each one of us gifts. That's why all of this is so important when we think of the Holy Spirit being in us, not with us. It's a reality that I hope you leave today with a sense that, hey, listen, I've got God inside of me if you're a follower of Jesus. When I was living in Malaysia, I think I told this story once before. When I was living in Malaysia, one of the guys that we had in our church there in Malaysia that was pastoring there was an American pilot. He was a Top Gun pilot, actually, with the Navy. And the Navy had sent him over to Malaysia to train the Malaysian Air Force how to fly the F-18s. Malaysia was buying a few F-18s from the U.S., and so he was there to train them on how to fly these planes. He was coming to our church, and I was really fascinated by this because I love planes. I love the idea of being a pilot and all that. And I've told you before that I went to a recruiter right out of college because I didn't know what I want to do with my life. And I went into the recruiter, and he said, how tall are you? And I said, well, I'm 6'3", 6'4". And he goes, well, it's a problem because if you want to fly jets, then, you know, you have to eject, you'll lose your legs. So I thought, well, maybe I should just be a pastor. So anyway, his name was Podes, P-O-D-S. Podes was his call name. And so Podes was attending our church. And I said to him, I said, Podes, how did this whole thing happen in your life? Like, how did you come to faith in Jesus? And he told me this story. He said, I was flying for the Navy, and I was on an aircraft carrier. And he said, man, I'm telling you, it's so hard to land a plane on an aircraft carrier. Because it's counterintuitive. You're coming in to land, and as you land and touch and hit the aircraft carrier, he said, you have to put the full afterburners on, because if you miss the rope or whatever it is that they grab you, you have to make sure you can take off. So it's counterintuitive that you're landing and then putting on the afterburners to see if, you know, make sure you don't lose the rope there and take off. And he said, one night, I was coming in, it was pitch black, and I lost all the computers. I lost everything in my cockpit. And he didn't know what to do. Fortunately, he took his cell phone and he called the aircraft carrier. Now, I have no idea how he, you know, got a hold of somebody on the aircraft carrier with his cell phone, but he did. He called them and they sent up another F-18 to fly up, and the F-18 circled around, and somehow they figured it out where he was supposed to simply watch the blue light. Watch this. The blue light on the wing of the guy next to him. He said, I didn't look at the aircraft carrier at all. All I did was watch that blue light. And if the blue light went faster, I went faster. If it went down, I went down. And he said, as I watched that blue light, I was landing and landing, and I landed safely on the aircraft carrier by just watching a little blue light. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, it was about then that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I go, that makes sense. And so as I was talking to him, he said, I recognized that I wanted that blue light in my heart. I said, so do I. So do I. And I think so do you. Because you see, the first reality is that the Holy Spirit is not just with us, but is in us. That changes the way you see your week. Second reality is that the Holy Spirit, it's receiving the Holy Spirit, which is different than filling of the Holy Spirit. See, sometimes you've heard things like to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Well, that's the same thing as receiving. It's different than filling. There's a difference between receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled by the Holy Spirit. Let me say it this way. You see, receiving is when you have all of the Spirit. In other words, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, God deposits inside of you, Ephesians chapter 1, deposits inside of you the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is in you. And then Paul says in Romans that because you're a follower of Jesus, the Spirit is in you. That's the sign that you're a follower of Jesus. And then he says in 1 Corinthians that it's so important for us to understand that the Spirit of God wants to reside inside of us. And so receiving the Holy Spirit is when you have all of the Spirit. Filling, on the other hand, catch this, filling is when the Spirit has all of you. In other words, when you give your life to Jesus, the Spirit of God is in you. But that doesn't mean he has you, because there are areas in our life that we can push the Spirit away, or we lie to the Spirit, or we shut the Spirit out. Let me illustrate this way. See, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is completely inside of you. You receive the Holy Spirit. You can't get more of the Holy Spirit. It isn't like you get 10% of him or 20% of him. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. The challenge, though, in life is to go through life and to invite the Holy Spirit into areas of our life that we're struggling with. So Jesus invites us to receive the Spirit, and we invite the Spirit to fill every aspect of our life. If you're struggling with an addiction, if you're struggling with a habit, you're struggling with an emotion, you may be struggling with anxiety. There's a lot of that going around. Have you noticed that? If you're struggling with anger, if you're struggling in a relationship, if you're struggling in your family, if you're struggling, whatever it is that you might be dealing with in your life, God has given to us the Spirit of God in us. And our role then is to invite the Spirit of God into each one of those situations. Let me put it this way. If you feel like God is far away, it's because you have not invited the Spirit of God into an area of your life which is in the forefront of your mind. Let me say that again. If you feel far from God and you're a follower of Jesus, it's because you have not invited the Spirit of God in an area of your life that's at the forefront of your mind. You see, he wants us to understand that you can receive the Holy Spirit, and over a lifetime, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. I think it's a constant process in our life, because you go from being a teenager to being a young adult to being an adult to being single or married with kids, no kids, grandkids, some grand, you know, whatever it is in your life. You go through life and you invite the Spirit of God into your marriage. You invite it into your singleness. You invite him into all of that of your life. See, the Holy Spirit receiving is very different than filling. And we see that all through Scripture. It's important for us to see that. This is what Jesus is saying here as he invites these disciples together, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to be in you, and now it's your job to invite the Spirit of God in different areas. My mom called me back in September of 2020, and she said to me, she lives in Charlotte, by the way, and she said, David, I have been invited to visit with the President of the United States. And I said, I don't think so, Mom. And she said, I got a letter right here, and I've been invited to be with the President of the United States. And I said, "Well, Mom, show me the letter, but I don't think so. I think it's probably a scam. I think there's somebody that's trying to get you to do something. I don't know. I mean, I don't know, you know." So I said, "Show me the letter." So she FaceTimed me, and she showed me the letter, and it looked pretty real, actually. I mean, it was on this letterhead that, you know, had the seal of the president on it and all kinds of different things. And so she says, "I think it's real." I go, "Mom, I don't think so. I mean, I know you feel important. It's great. I want you to feel important, but I don't think the president is inviting to you." Turns out that the president of the United States was coming into Charlotte and was inviting several senior adults to come to some kind of a meeting, and she's a senior adult. And so 2 weeks later, she ends up calling the number at the bottom of the letter, and it was real. It was a real invitation. She missed it because it was full. I got in the way of my mom receiving an invitation to see the president of the United States. Can you believe that? I can't to this day. It's unbelievable. And so in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, you know, this invitation that the Spirit of God wants to come in to my life and to fill it, I don't want to stand in the way of that invitation. What's standing in the way of you accepting that invitation? What area of your life do you need to invite the Holy Spirit into right now? I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that at the end today. As a matter of fact, I'm also going to give you the opportunity that maybe today you've been wondering what it would be like to have a relationship with Jesus, and you're not really sure, but you would like the opportunity to do that. I'm going to give you the opportunity today, and you can receive the opportunity to be a God man or a God woman. In other words, the Spirit of God can be in you. It's incredible. That's the second reality. Here's the third reality. Third reality is, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, forgiveness is the greatest indicator that the Spirit of God is in us and that we are inviting the Spirit of God into every circumstance and situation. Let's take a look, because there's a verse here in John chapter 20 that's really confusing. So let's take a look at it. Look at verse 23 with me. Jesus says, "Receive the Spirit," and then he says this, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Question, is Jesus telling the disciples that they can forgive sins? No. But it sounds like it. What Jesus is saying here is this, that if you're forgiven, meaning that you have a relationship with God, and you don't live out your forgiveness in every circumstance and situation, then people around you won't know what it's like to be forgiven. And if you don't live out your forgiveness, then you might be a stumbling block for somebody around you to understand what forgiveness is. That's what Jesus is saying here. And when I look at my life, there are things in my life that I need to think through. There are circumstances and situations that I need to invite the Spirit of God into my life in order that forgiveness might be the greatest indicator. See, living forgiven is the best path to living forgivingly. In order for you to forgive everybody around you, you need to live in your forgiveness. You see, if you've been forgiven much, then you're gonna love much. And if you've been forgiven little, then you will love little. Many of you probably have heard Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit go something like this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then Paul says, against these there should be no law. But we never read verse 24. Here's what verse 24 says. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You know what happens when Jesus crucifies our passions and desires? We're forgiven, right? So the greatest indicator of the Spirit of God living in our lives is in fact forgiveness, which is seen by love and joy and patience and kindness, all those kinds of things in our lives. I don't know about you, but I want to get this right. Anybody else? I want to get this right. So we need to understand that as we live forgiven, it's the best path of living forgivingly for those all around us. And so you see, as we go through this, we need to understand that these invitations that God gives to us are there, and this invitation relates to all the other invitations. Receive the Holy Spirit in your life. So here's what I want you to do. In all of our campuses, I'm just going to invite you, as we close out the series, to just take a moment. Would you just bow your heads, or perhaps just ignore everybody around you? Because there's two responses to this. You may be here today, and you don't really have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've heard a lot about him. Perhaps there's a lot of people around you that talk about him. And you know what? Today, you want to bridge that relationship, that brokenness. Because the invitation to receive the Spirit is also the invitation for a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here today, we're not going to ask you to do anything strange or weird at any one of our campuses or online. We're just going to simply invite you to bow your heads and say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that you died for me. I desire a relationship with you. I invite you into my life. And I desire to receive the Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you want to pray that prayer, would you just pray it silently? It doesn't have to be perfect. Just pray that silently. And God will hear your prayer. And you can accept the power of God, God Himself, living in you. Father, I pray that you'd be with those that have prayed that prayer today, whether they're here at Centerville or Beaver Creek or Springboro or Northmont or online, Classics, anywhere that we are worshiping today. I thank you, Father, that there are angels in heaven rejoicing because there are people who have accepted this invitation that you've given. And Father, now, for the rest of us who are followers of you, there may be areas of our life where we have not invited, where we have pushed out, where we have shut out the Spirit of God. And I pray, Father, that you would hear our prayer as we invite you into these areas. Church, would you just do that quietly? Just invite Jesus, the Spirit of God, into those areas of your life. Lord, we want to live out our forgiveness. We desire, Father, to be followers where it's very evident that you're at work inside of us because of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, in my life and all of these friends, Lord, that as we find and see experiences and situations where we have shut you out, we pray, Father, that you would help us as we invite the Spirit in. We thank you. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for what you do. Thank you that you are in us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen. Amen.